it's not easy to come up to preach a sermon after a song like that, right? I was like, oh man, how do I follow that? Hope everyone's doing okay this morning. If you got your Bibles, we'll be in Psalm chapter 1, or the first psalm, if you will. We'll be in Psalm. I'm hoping for the next few weeks, look at some psalms. And so I'm going to pick out my favorites. If you have your favorites, go ahead, write them on a card and put them in that box. And if they match up with my favorites, I'll preach about them. So feel free to do that. I'd like for you to have your input as well. We're going to be in Psalm chapter 1. And today's sermon, I'll be honest with you, it's pretty simple. All right, it's really simple. I hope from this you come away with some encouragement. I want there to be encouragement. But there's also going to be some warning. All right, some warning that goes with this. But I'm not going to talk about anything that you don't already know. Nothing that you won't be able to understand. It's plain and simple. It's Psalm chapter 1. I think the first psalm, it's a great way. If you were to have this, 150 psalms or however many it is, this is the perfect psalm to start with. All right, is what it talks about. And so that's what we're going to look at in this. So if you've got your Bibles, open them up. Psalm 1. I don't have it on the board behind me or anything like that. So you can just follow along if you don't have your Bible. So here we go. I'm going to read it first, and then we'll kind of break it down. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. All right, you comprehended all of that, right? You got it all. I mean, I could shut the Bible and sit down, and you got it. It's not complicated what he's talking about here. But I want to look at this. It says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. He's not seeking his information. He's not seeking his wisdom from the wicked, from those that are opposed to God and what God wants. He's not seeking his counsel from them. It says he doesn't stand in the way of sinners. That doesn't mean he's standing in the way of, like, hey, get out of my way, you're blocking me. It doesn't mean he's blocking sinners, right? But he's in their path. He's on the pathway of sinners. He's not standing there, right? Blessed is the man who does not stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers. We live in an age of mockery, right? You turn around, if something's standing up, let's tear it down. If whatever it is, there's nothing sacred anymore. We want to mock, we want to make fun of. And he says, blessed is the one who does not sit in the seat of mockers, but instead, blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And he's talking about the scriptures here, right? His delight, he enjoys it. It's not a chore. It's not a task. It's not homework. It's not a book that's sitting on his nightstand that, oh, I'll get to that eventually. No, his delight. Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And so I want to look at this for a minute. This delight, God's word being a delight to us. Now I want you to turn with me to Jeremiah 15. Jeremiah 15. And we read this verse in our Tuesday morning Bible class, which I'm going to plug again, Tuesday morning coffee and Bible. Jeremiah 15, and I want to look at verses, 16 and 17. And Jeremiah has a hard task in front of him. Jeremiah has to go and prophesy and preach to people who don't want to hear what he has to say, but he's going to do what God wants him to do. And this is what Jeremiah says in verse 16 and 17. Chapter 15, he says, when your words came, I ate them. I ate them. Jesus says, man does not live on bread alone, but on the words of God, right? The idea of eating them. And I don't know if Jeremiah literally ate them, but you eat what's good for you. You eat what you enjoy, right? He doesn't see this as a chore. When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight. God's words delighted Jeremiah's heart. And of course they should. God is the giver of life. God is the one who blesses us, who sets our heart beating, right? God is the one who fills our lungs. He is life. And his words should be a delight to us. God is love. God is merciful. God is compassionate. His words should be a delight to us. We enjoy them. If we are not reading God's word, if we're not listening to God's word, how do we get to enjoy them, right? And if you didn't know, that's pretty much the whole what this sermon's about. Read your Bible, right? Like that's where this is going to get to. So I'm just giving you the end and the beginning, right? Read your Bible, right? But Jeremiah says, "Your words, they're my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name." Right? We are God's children. We should be listening to what our Father has to say. He says, "I bear your name, O Lord God Almighty." And he says, "I never sat in the company of revelers, never made merry with them." I didn't hang out with those who were opposed to you. I didn't hang out with those that say, "Hey, everything's good. We don't need God," or anything like that. So I didn't join in with them, because that's not where my delight was. My delight was in your word. He says, "I sat alone because your hand was on me." Jeremiah would rather be alone with God than in the company of mockers and revelers. That's Jeremiah. And of course, Jeremiah was a great man of God. But he understood this idea of God's word being a delight, being a joy. And so, again, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of the sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Christian read the scripture earlier, right, from the 119th Psalm. And the 119th Psalm is a very long psalm. And I didn't have him read all of it, because we'd probably still be here listening to him read, and that wouldn't be fair to him. And I'm not going to read it all this morning, but I want you to go and read Psalm 119 later. Because the entire psalm is basically how much the author enjoys God's word. But I want to look at a few verses 9 through 16. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. How can a young man keep his way pure? How can a young man keep his way pure? And just so you know, for you folks that aren't so young, this applies also to the older crowd as well, right? But how does a young man keep his way pure? And this is that's a very interesting question, all right? David, as you're going out, like, there's speakers, you'll hear me. I'm talking about young men, so make sure you're listening while you're all right, okay. Just want to make sure you hear this, because it's talking to young men, all right? How does a young man keep his way pure? Right now, all the other young men, like, they're like, "Oh no, people are calling me." I mean, but this is a legit question. Look at the world today. Look what's out there. You know, this idea of having to leave home and go to a faraway city to find, you know, evil, to find sin. Oh, no, no, no. You got it in your pocket, right? You can break it out whenever you want. It's coming to your front door now. You don't have to go out and find evil. It's found you. And chances are, it's on your person right now as we speak, is the way it works. So how can a young man or a young woman or any of us keep our ways pure in an age where sin and Satan is hanging out in our pocket? How is that even possible? Psalm 119, verse 9, by living according to your word. That's how you do it, by living according to your word. If the problem is sin and Satan, and he's around us all the time, how are we going to be able to combat that if we're not in God's word? And I don't mean just hearing a sermon on Sunday morning. Right? If daily we're not in God's word, the one who's created us, the one who gives us life, the one who loves us, here we have this book that's filled with, I mean, just so much information, so much knowledge, so much wisdom, poetry and stories and history and just the words of Jesus Christ himself. And it sits by and it collects dust on our bookcase. How are we going to live in a world full of evil unless we're seeking out God and his word? How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. The author says, I seek you with all my heart. I seek you with all my heart. I don't know why this came to me earlier when I said, hey, you know, meet someone and greet somebody, right? I thought, you know, if you're a young person in here and you see someone of the opposite sex, a young person, that might be the person you go to greet, right? Because you're going to learn their name. That's a good opportunity. Hey, I have free pass to go learn their name. And then once you do that name, you're not going to forget that name, are you? And that person is probably, because most of us has experienced this, where there was someone you were interested in, and they just somehow stayed on your mind, and you try to figure out ways to talk to that person and get closer to that person, right? We've all probably been there. He says, I'm seeking God with all my heart. I seek you with all my heart. In a world full of evil where things are just thrown at us constantly, we can't be distracted. We must have a heart that's longing to search for God. And he goes to say, do not let me stray from your commands. God, you've told us how to live. Don't let me stray from your commands. He says, I've hidden your word in my heart. I've hidden your word in my heart. It's safe here. I've taken the things that you've told me and I've memorized them, right? I'm living by them. He says, I've done that. Why? So that I might not sin against you. This is what's going to prepare me for battle. This is what's going to prepare me for what we're up against in the world is God's word. He says, praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. He's saying them. Not only is he reading them, not only is he meditating on them, he's memorizing them, but he's speaking them. He's speaking the words of God. He says, I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. He'd rather have God's word than money, right? I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. And the author looks at God's word as how it should be looked at. It's joyous. It's rich. It's going to teach us how to live. It's going to keep us safe, right? This is what God's word is. We should not neglect it. We should seek after it. I'm back in Psalm 1 now, if you turn back there with me. It says, the one who's blessed is the one who delights in the law of the Lord. He meditates on it day and night. And he says he's like a tree planted by streams of water. A tree planted by streams of water. It says it's going to yield its fruit in season, right? It always has water. There's always water there. It doesn't have to wait for the rain. Right, it's rooted in a place to where it's always going to be nourished. Its leaf never withers. When I read this verse, I think of the hill country. I think of the rivers that run through the hill country. I specifically think of the Frio River that was blessed to grow up hanging out at a lot. When you go to the Frio River or many rivers in Texas, you're going to see cypress trees, right, that just line the river. They don't really grow anywhere else. They just grow along the river, and they have an awesome root system that'll come up out of the ground. These trees, I mean, they're giant, right? They're huge. We were there a year and a half ago or so, and one of the branches of one of these trees, I don't know if it was struck by lightning or, you know, some, it had fallen, and there was a concrete table that you could picnic at. I mean, thick. These were the ones back when, you know, concrete tables really meant something. I mean, this was made back in the 70s, right? This is one of these old concrete tables that are super thick. The branch, not even the trunk, one of the branches had fallen and just cracked that table in two, landed on it. If you would have been sitting there, that would have been your last lunch right there. I mean, it just crushed this concrete table. And that was a branch. It just showed how heavy this tree is. And yet it stands there. And you look at these roots, and they just kind of go out, and you don't know where they go underground, and they're there, and they're not moving. A lot of times those rivers will flood, and you'll see what's left over from the flood, sometimes high up into the tree branches, right? Those floods, when those rivers flood, they can move cars. But guess what? Those trees, they're not moving. Things will hit those trees. They'll wrap around those trees, but those trees stay still. They are not moved. And that's what we are like when we are rooted in God's word. When we are reading, when we are studying, when we are meditating, when we are memorizing, when we are reciting God's word, what's out there, the storms of life, the temptations that are out there are not going to move us when we are rooted in God's word. When we're not, we could easily be blown away. In fact, that's what he compares it to, right? Verse 4, the wicked are like chaff that the wind blows away. Some of y'all know this, some of y'all don't. Sometimes I'll go and I'll roast coffee. All right, we got a roaster and I roast coffee. And what happens is on the green coffee bean, there'll be some chaff that as you roast it, it goes away. When you go and buy coffee at the store, you don't have any chaff because that chaff was taken away by a fan. And for us, it's collected into a little pot that I have to empty out every couple roasts. But you got to be careful because if you move any of that stuff just goes everywhere. Well, one time it got clogged up into the exhaust fan. It drops down. It's heavy enough to drop down into this collector, but the exhaust air goes out. Well, one time it got clogged up. And after a number of roasts, I said, man, where's all the chaff? There's no chaff down here in the bucket. Where did it go? Well, I found out when I went outside, and it was all over the place, and it covered a bunch of people's cars and everything. And my dad's like, well, I'm out of here. See you later. But it just went everywhere. It was like snow. It just went everywhere. That's what we are like when we are not rooted in God's word, that when things come, when troubles come, when trials come, when temptation comes, we just go wherever it takes us. We're blown here and there. We're not grounded. We're not rooted. We just go with wherever those things take us. And that's, I mean, who wants to be like that? Chaff is hard to clean up. It's messy. It's just blown. I mean, it'll keep on blowing as long as the wind is going, right? It just keeps on going and going. That's what those who are evil are like, the Bible tells us. Blown here and there. That's not what we want to be. We want to be strong. We want to be rooted. We want to be grounded. And that comes from God's word. Wrapping this up here. Jesus said, I'm the vine and you are the branches in John 15. Right? He says, when you're in me, you can do whatever. If you're rooted in me, I'm the vine. You're the branch. You extend out from me. As long as you're rooted in me, you can do anything. Without me, you can do nothing. All you're good for is to be gathered up and thrown in the fire. And church, here's the lesson this morning. Right? Here's where it ends. Verse 6. The Lord watches over the way of the righteous. The Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The way of the wicked will perish. The warning for us that First Psalm gives us. Study, read, commit to memory, learn God's word. It's available. It's available on that same device I mentioned earlier that's in your pocket. God's word can be there as well. Right? Take the time. It might at first seem like a chore, right? It might at first seem like a chore. But I bet most of you, when you were younger, you were told to eat your vegetables and you didn't really like it, right? But it was good for you. But I bet now, most of us probably eat a lot more vegetables than when we were a kid, right? Not only do we realize they're better for us, but we actually enjoy them more, right? And the thing is, after you eat your vegetables versus after you eat food that's not good for you, right, is after the fact. How do you feel afterwards? If all you had was junk, you normally feel bad all the time. And it keeps you from doing things. But when you eat healthy, not only is it good for you, you learn to enjoy it, but it's how it affects you from then on, right? As you feel better and you're able to do a lot more. God's word is no different. So it may seem a little difficult at first. There may be things you don't understand, right? There might be some words you've never read before, but you keep doing it. And it becomes a delight to you where you're willing to give up everything else. You become willing to wake up before the sun comes up because you want to read God's word before you do anything else. And it becomes a lifestyle for you. And you become rooted and grounded. And Satan has a hard time moving you when you're rooted in God's word. Because the alternative is to be bundled up and thrown into a fire. Is to be thrown up in the air and just carried away by all sorts of things, all sorts of evils, is to perish. So here's what we have in front of us, church. Something that's so simple, so simple. We've been told so many times, just like we've been told to eat our vegetables, is read your Bible. I mean, that's all there is to it. But the thing is what if you don't read your Bible? What if you don't? You've read the warnings, right? You heard the warnings read this morning. You'll be blown away. You'll be thrown into the fire. You will perish if you're not rooted, if you're not grounded. That's the alternative. Is it worth it? And I'll be honest, I'm not normally a doomsday preacher. I'm not a fire and brimstone kind of guy because I believe that it's a delight to do what God wants us to do. It's real life. It's true life. You know, hell could disappear tomorrow. The threat of hell could disappear. I still want to do what God says because that's real life, right? But there is a flip side to not doing what God wants. There is punishment. There is that threat. And a lot of it is not just after we pass away. It's not just hell. It's in this life now. When we allow Satan to get a hold of our lives and to do with us what he wants, when he tricks us and tempts us and we go down his path, we learn a little bit about hell even in this life. And those things that are out there, the addictions and the sins that can engulf us and keep us from living the way God wants us to live, those things can be avoided when we live the way God wants us to live. So church, your encouragement this morning, you had the warning, your encouragement is here it is, God's word. It's beautiful, right? At times it's funny, it's moving, right? It can bring you tears, it can bring you joy. I mean, there's all sorts of amazing things in this book sitting there waiting for you to read, and it will become your heart's delight, a joy that you look forward to, that will strengthen you to be like one of those cypress trees along the Frio River that's not going anywhere. Kids will get to swing off rope swings and tire swings and climb up your branches and jump off, right? You will become a joy because you are rooted in God's word, rooted in the words of Jesus Christ. All right, church, simple sermon, but let's do it. Let's do that. All right, let's take in God's word more and more and be strengthened, encouraged by it, right? And become the people that he wants us to be. If there's anything that this church can do for you this morning, if you want to know more about who Jesus is, if you want to take him on in baptism, right, we give you that opportunity. If you want to place membership here, if you need the prayers of this church, right, the elders, myself, we're here. We want to pray with you. We give you that opportunity now as we stand and sing.